Good morning.
Good morning.
My talk this morning is going to be from and about the Fuken Zazenji, Principles of Seated Meditation. This is a three-page essay that's written by Dogen. And as you know, I've mentioned this before, but I feel a responsibility as a teacher, even though Dogen can be very thick, very difficult to understand. I feel a responsibility as a teacher to at least make him somewhat available. So today is a Dogen talk, and it's based on his instructions or his talk about Zazen. Now the essay is written as prose, but it's really quite poetic. You know, it's not like most of Dogen's writings. It's not, I don't want to say direct, but anyway, it requires some sitting with to get what he's talking about. And the translation I'm using is from a book called On Zen Practice. And it's by Taizen Maizumi Roshi and Bernie Glassman Roshi. What I'm going to try and do in terms of this talk is do the same thing that I've done before, which is I'm going to read through once the first paragraph. And there's really three sections to this. There's the first page which I'll talk more about in a minute. And then there's the actual instructions for Zazen, and then there's a conclusion. So I'll probably wind up giving three talks because there's a lot here in three pages. So this is the, not the total first page, but the paragraph from the first page and the last three lines from the first page. And I'll read those uninterrupted without any commentary by myself or by Maizumi Roshi. Fuken Zazenji, quote, Principles of Seated Meditation by Ihei Dogen. So Dogen writes, fundamentally speaking, the basis of the way is perfectly pervasive. How could it be contingent on practice and verification? The vehicle of the ancestors is naturally unrestricted. Why should we expend sustained effort? Surely the whole being is far beyond defilement. Who could believe in a method to polish it? Never is it apart from this very place. What is the use of a pilgrimage to practice it? And yet, if a hair's breadth of distinction exists, the gap is like that between heaven and earth. Once the slightest like or dislike arises, all is confused and the mind is lost. And then the last couple of lines. Therefore, stop the intellectual practice of investigating words and chasing after talk. Study the backward step of turning the light and shining it back. Body and mind will drop away of themselves, and your original face will appear. If you want such a state, urgently work at such a state. So, I don't know if it'll help, but I somehow had this thought that, you know, if you listen to this talk and imagine that you're at Iheiji, Dogen's monastery, high up in the mountain in Japan, you know, so that this is a temple, this is a monastery devoted totally to sitting. And so through me, Dogen is speaking to you these words about the single most important part of our practice, and that is Zazen. So I will read a few excerpts from a commentary which comes after the Fuken Zazenji. That's by Maizumi Roshi. So he says that in this essay, Dogen is, quote, not only explaining how to do Zazen, but really encouraging everyone to do it. And he says in the title he uses the word Fuken to convey the universality of the principles, applying them without exception to all being. And then another excerpt from my Zumi. When Dogen returned from China, he wasn't quite satisfied with the kind of Zen that was practiced in Japan. And his return was somewhere around 1227. And Maizumi goes on to see, teachers were applying the teachings of Zen with other practices. And so it wasn't really Zen alone that was being practiced in Japan when Dogen got back. And then the third excerpt from Maizumi's commentary. Dogen, after his great realization under Master Tendo Nyojo, was strongly convinced that just Zazen alone should be practiced. And in writing this essay, Dogen wanted to not only promote the practice of Zazen as such, but to encourage people to do the kind of genuine Zazen that he himself had experienced and come to understand deeply. Now, just a quick aside on that, you know, I think I've talked about this before. The process of Zen isn't like a graph bar that starts down here and goes up here. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs. We can have insights that are incomplete, and we need to ripen and develop those insights. And that was Dogen's experience. He had a number of insights before this great realization, as it's referred to, with Tendo Nyojo. Okay, so I'm going to go back now again through what I read, and I will both include my own commentary and occasionally some commentary by Maizumi. So Dogen begins again. Fundamentally speaking, the basis of the way is perfectly pervasive. How could it be contingent on practice and verification? So the way that I hear this is that Dogen here is setting the fundamental context in which Zazen is practiced. And that is, we're talking about what we refer to as the way, Buddha nature, shunyata, enlightenment. And he's saying that the way, that this fundamental nature is everywhere. And because it's everywhere, it's life itself. It's not separate from life. Maizumi translates it by saying, it is fundamental because it is universal. It's all pervading and complete. So we could say, you know, our lives are perfect and complete as they are. Life doesn't need practice and verification to be complete. It's already so. So the next line is, the vehicle of the ancestors is naturally unrestricted. So what's the vehicle? Well, let me get back to that. So the vehicle of the ancestors is naturally unrestricted. And so the way that I understand that, it means that it's not confined by thought-created boundaries. And by using the word vehicle, I think Dogen refers to our lives, our life itself. That's the vehicle for our experience, our life itself. Maizumi points out, quote, that as long as we are alive, we live under certain conditions, which in a sense impose limitation. But within that limitation, there is freedom. And I think that that's so because it's really our mind that creates an idea of limitation. If that idea evaporates, there's no more limitation. There's just life. So the next line in the first paragraph is, why should we expend sustained effort? Now, you know from previous talks that Dogen has written elsewhere, we don't practice to attain enlightenment. We practice because we are already enlightened. So even though the universe, including ourselves, is undefiled, right? It's complete as it is, most of us don't realize that. So to create this realization, to make us fertile for this realization, for this truth, we practice Zazen. And we don't just practice Zazen haphazardly. The call is to devote your life to the practice and to sit as though your hair were on fire. So that's how I understand expending a sustained effort. The next line is, surely the whole being, which means the whole universe, surely the whole being, the whole universe, is far beyond defilement. Who could believe in a method to polish it? Now, the trick here, to me, is that things are already perfect and complete as they are, and it's the mind that imposes the idea of defilement. And so we practice to realize this truth. And Maizumi offers this following interchange, which I love, between Shenzu and Huineng. So Shenzu writes, "Our body is the Bodhi tree. Our mind is a mirror bright. Take care to wipe them hour by hour, and let no dust alight." So that represents an opening, right? But it's incomplete. Huineng, the sixth ancestor, responds by saying, "There is in fact no Bodhi tree, nor stand of mirror bright. Since all is emptiness itself, where can dust alight?" So Shenzu lit the match, and Huineng presented the fire. So the next line, "Never is it apart from this very place. What is the use of a pilgrimage to practice it?" I think the fundamental question is, where is there to go? The way is always in our life, and it's all pervading. Yet many people, many of us, keep looking for a perfect place, a Shangri-La, the perfect teacher, something special. But the truth is simple, and it's right here in front of our very nose. Next, Dogen continues and writes, "If yet a hair's breadth of distinction exists, the gap is like that between heaven and earth. Once the slightest like or dislike arises, all is confused and the mind is lost." Once the slightest like or dislike arises, all is confused and the mind is lost. Another way to say this would be that as soon as the mind takes over, we forget. We forget that we are already enlightened. And this creates, or we should say, we become the distance between heaven and earth from the truth of who we are. And the mind that is lost here refers to the way, to our fundamental nature. And then the last two sentences that I read earlier in the beginning of the essay, the first sentence, "Stop the intellectual practice of investigating words and chasing after talk. Study the backward step of turning the light and shining it back. Body and mind will drop away by themselves, and your original face will appear. If you want such a state, urgently work at such a state." So I think what he's saying here is that words and speech are just concepts about the way. Let them go and experience the way itself. Turning the light and shining it back. I don't know why this popped into my head, but it seems that metaphor means it's like a lab rat running endlessly on a wheel. So that's shining the light, but turning it back is when the rat steps off the wheel. Stepping out of our habitual way of perceiving, of existing. So that's it on Dogen for today. So thank you for listening.